with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. Continuing our series on accessibility, today we have an interesting program for you on audio description in theatre and cinemas. Audio description is additional verbal commentary of visuals during live performances and in cinema. It can include succinct descriptions of different visual elements, such as scenes, actions, settings, props, and costumes, during pauses in onstage dialogue. It is transmitted to the user by a small radio receiver and earpieces or headphones. It is a fascinating use of assistive technology deployed on a broad scale, combined with the human element. The effectiveness of the technology is totally dependent on the experience and professionalism of the operators. One such audio describer, Bruce Cutler, visited 2RPH Studios to talk about his work with Barbara Sullivan.
Thanks for coming into the studio to talk to us today, Bruce. Welcome to 2RPH.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'd like to ask you first a little bit about yourself and your involvement with audio describing, and then perhaps we can move on to how it actually works.
Fine.
So tell me, when did you first come across audio describing?
About 4 years ago. I read an email from the Ensemble Theatre saying if you'd like to volunteer, you're more than welcome, and you'd be trained, and if you pass the training, well, then you could be accepted.
And what particularly got you interested in that as a way to spend your time?
I've always been very interested in theatre. I go to a lot of theatre, and I'm actually on the board of directors of NIDA, so I have a close interest in theatre.
Absolutely.
And it occurred to me that I enjoy it so much, there must be a lot of people who are vision impaired or blind, and maybe this is an opportunity for them to enjoy theatre as much as I do.
How does a person train to be an audio describer, and what training did you have?
Well, basically the training is a 2-week training course. You have to, in effect, audition to get into the course.
Mm.
So they show you a photo and say, describe it, and describe it in a way that someone can understand what you're describing. So you may describe it from left to right or right to left, but you certainly don't jump around, because if someone's vision impaired and you jump around, they don't have a set idea of what the photograph really looks like. What's the depth? Are there trees? Is there a path? Is there a church in the background? What's the general atmospherics of the photograph? So you do an audition, you then have 2 weeks of training to make you, in effect, say what you see and don't interpret, because the vision impaired person can interpret, but you're just being their eyes so they can understand what they're looking at if they could see.
That's a big thing, isn't it? It must be very easy to put your own filter on it.
It's something you simply can't do, because if you did put a filter on it or try and interpret, in effect you're talking down to your clients.
But somebody who's so interested, say if you were audio describing theatre, for example, you're so interested in it yourself, you'd have to curb your natural inclination to talk about it in the way that you see it.
It's very interesting. To audio describe a play, for example, at the Ensemble, where I've done quite a number of them, you see the play 3 times first, once in the audience, twice in the booth, and then you describe it 3 times in the booth with your clients there. Now, if you just go and see a play, you enjoy it, you think about it, you talk about it. When you're audio describing, you're looking for parts that are important. You wouldn't describe the entire set, for example, and in a small theatre, you wouldn't describe where the characters are on the stage, because people can hear, and they can hear where the character is. If you're in a large theatre like Sydney Theatre or the drama theatre, you'd have to describe where they are on stage, because they're not close enough to hear where the character is.
So when you go through your training, is it quite rigorous in teaching you how to do that sort of thing?
It's quite rigorous in terms of how you describe something, a photo or a set or a play, left to right or right to left. You then have to learn how to succinctly put your message across, and we never talk over dialogue, so you have to be trained to keep quiet on a number of occasions.
Right.
And then having gone through 2 weeks of training, you do another test. And the test I did was they gave us a DVD of Picnic at Hanging Rock and said, we're going to start this somewhere and you'll be describing for 10 minutes without pause. So I saw Picnic at Hanging Rock a number of times at home and then went and did the test, and I was lucky enough to be accepted.
Oh, I think you're being very modest there. Do you write the scripts yourself?
No, we get the script before the play. A number of us don't read the script because often the director reinterprets or changes scene sequences. So I find it best to ad lib. And also, of course, in some plays, the set doesn't follow the script. Let me give you a good example. Mm-hmm. In the play Granada, which was at the Drama Theatre at the Opera House, it was on a revolving stage. In, I think, the fifth or sixth performance which I attended, I very confidently and rather arrogantly said, oh, well, the next scene is actually in the living room. The revolving stage didn't stop at the living room. So I said, oh, we're actually in the kitchen. And I could hear the stage manager saying, just go on to the actors. And they missed out a whole scene because the set didn't stop.
So what type of preparation do you typically do? You mentioned before that you see a production, for example, if it's a play, you see a production three times.
Yes.
Do you make detailed notes to yourself?
No, I don't. What I found quite difficult is shoes and hats to describe. So I do a lot of Googling to work out exactly how you would describe the shoes. Are they slingback? Are they brogues? What colour are they? Same with hats. We all know different types of hats, but if you're trying to be very accurate, it's best to Google, and there are very good hat sites that I found. So you do that sort of preparation.
Yes.
Costume, period costumes, usually quite easy. Modern costume can be quite tricky because you have to describe, for example, the length of the dress. It's above the knee, it's down to the ankles, it's a sweeping gown, something which will give the client a feel for what that character is wearing.
Clearly you've done a lot of theatre, audio describing. Anything else? Have you done video and DVD?
No, I do theatre for plays and opera. I've done La Boheme, Madame Butterfly, Falstaff, so a few opera. Opera's a little bit trickier. In Sydney, we don't describe the Cirque titles. We see them so we know what's happening. In Melbourne, I think they describe the Cirque titles, which I think can be quite off-putting to someone listening. They just need a general picture of the set, the actors, is there a chorus coming? And we time shift, which means sometimes we have to describe a scene before it happens and sometimes describe it after it happens, so that the client gets a picture and it's not necessarily right at the time the scene is happening.
And that's because you have to choose the times when there is no dialogue and no singing.
Correct.
And you may not have the time beforehand.
Well, exactly. But a lot of vision-impaired people who go to opera are quite used to the sound of the opera and they know the story. So you don't have to be as detailed as you do in a play, because often they haven't seen the play or heard the play.
Clearly, you have to be very observant. What do you think it takes to be a good audio describer, which presumably makes for a good listening experience?
One thing you have to do and learn very early on is that if you have a set which is complicated and you describe everything, you'll confuse people. So you work out what are the essential items on the set which the client should know about. Let me give you an example. In one play I described, in the second scene, the character says, "This is my mother." Now, you don't know whether the mother's sitting there, whether she's walked into the room. So before that dialogue is spoken, you say, there's a picture of a woman on a frame on the desk. And then just before he says, this is my mother, you say, X has picked up the photo. So it sets the scene. But you don't describe the entire set because a lot of the set is irrelevant to what's happening in the dialogue.
So you have to have very good powers of selection, if you like.
Selection, yes. Selection is the right word. And you have to be very careful not to talk down. For example, in the play The Act, which was on at the Ensemble, there was a very elaborate candlestick, which was tempting to describe, but was never used. So we didn't describe it. But there was an Art Deco ashtray, which was used because one of the characters was smoking, and he'd walk across to the Art Deco ashtray and stub out his cigarette. And that was important in the sequence of the play.
Which is why you need to be familiar with the play in the first place.
Absolutely.
So that you can understand the props. I've been hearing a lot more in recent years about audio describing. How widespread is it in Australia?
Well, certainly in Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane. It also happens at Parramatta Riverside Studios and at Wollongong. I don't think it's as well known as an available resource as it ought to be. In one play which I did, we had 9 clients and 3 guide dogs who were lovely. 2 of them came into the sound booth with me and licked me. But normally in a play, you'd probably get 5 or 6 clients, and they have their companion, of course. Some of the vision impaired people come by themselves without a companion, but usually they have a companion to assist.
How does it actually work for them? When they book their ticket, do they have to say, I want to avail myself of this service, or can they do it on the spot when they arrive?
Whenever there's a performance which is audio described, the program that you get at the beginning of the year will say which performances are audio described. And the best thing to do is to, when you book your ticket, to say, I'm vision impaired, I would like to have an audio description, so you know how many people are coming. And also it means that you know how many people to look for when you're handing out the receivers which they use.
So what do they get?
It's a headphone. We sit in the sound booth, talk into a microphone. They sit in the audience anywhere, doesn't matter, and they have a receiver which they put in an earpiece into one ear, leave the other one vacant so they can hear the dialogue, and they sit there and enjoy it.
Do you plan to keep doing this for a long time?
I love it. No, I love it. I really do. And the thing I really love is the feedback from our clients. They get a lot of enjoyment out of it. They really do. And a lot of the clients I see quite regularly, there's always a few new ones. They vary from age from mid-20s through to mid-80s. So there's no sort of discrimination on age as to client. But the feedback usually is part rendering.
That's wonderful. Well, Bruce, thank you so much for coming in today. We've really appreciated hearing from you.
You're more than welcome. Thank you indeed.
That was Bruce Cutler, whose skillful and engaging audio descriptions can be heard at various theatres in Sydney, the Ensemble, Belvoir, Sydney Theatre Company and the Opera House. In Queensland, the Performing Arts Centre, the QPAC, offers audio description service for theatre, ballet and opera. Oral performances, such as concerts, can be enhanced by an audio describer with additional information in pre-recorded programmes regarding composers, compositions and performers. And in a new initiative in 2014, the 4 major cinema chains across Australia have committed to making audio descriptions available in all of their cinemas.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. I'm Marnie Roper. Thank you for listening, and goodbye till next program.